On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the baseball team stumbles in Lexington, women's basketball gets stronger, and trivia is back. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 155 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. Hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there, Gamecock Nation. It was a fantastic one with Cinco de Mayo. I know I hyped that up a lot last episode, but I celebrated. Hope y'all got out there to celebrate. And, you know, hopefully you had enough margaritas to ease the pain of this weekend's baseball results. Yeah, yikes. Gonna need a lot of margaritas and tacos to make up for a tough weekend on the diamond. But outside of that, I hope y'all had a nice few days here and are ready to attack this week here. Let's win the week. This is your motivation from your Gamecocks podcast host to just have a good week and take it day by day. But nevertheless, going to review a few things here before jumping into the baseball review. Got some weekend scores and news to go over with y'all. But before I do, I teased it out last episode, and I'm going to unveil it today. It is the return of Gamecock Facts and Trivia. So for those of you who are new to this, last year when the summertime was coming around and news and scores tend to be a little slower, I have a handy-dandy daily Gamecock calendar that I keep on my desk. Shout out to the gift from my mom, where every day it has either a piece of trivia related to University of South Carolina or a fact related to USC. So from now until basically football season, we're going to start every episode with a fact or trivia. So let's kick things off here. It is a piece of trivia for y'all. So, can you name the 2021 South Carolina beach volleyball duo that was honored by the AVCA Top Flight program for posting a win percentage of 750 or better? Any beach volleyball super fans out there know this answer? I don't, but Morgan Greer and Carly Schneider. How about that? That is quite the feat there in 2021. By Morgan and Carly. So shout out them. Shout out South Carolina Beach Volleyball. Working hard. And that's a very impressive fact there. So with that being said, let's look at some scores and news from the weekend before diving into this baseball series here. So starting off on Friday, softball lost to Tennessee 3-0. Hey, that's okay. Screw the Vols. Women's tennis lost to Old Dominion 4-2. Screw Old Dominion. Men's tennis beat South Carolina State. Little in-state matchup there. They beat them 4-0. Saturday, softball lost to Tennessee 4-2, and men's tennis beat Florida State 4-1. So a very nice weekend from the men's tennis front there. Two big victories handling their opponents. And then on Sunday, softball avoided the sweep and beat Tennessee 4-2 there. Then we had a nice piece of news from Dawn Staley and the women's basketball team as they picked up a commitment from transfer center Sakima Walker. Now, Sakima is coming from the JUCO ranks where she was last season's JUCO Player of the Year. So we're getting the JUCO Player of the Year coming to South Carolina, a center. Now, previous to being in junior college, Walker had been at Rutgers, so does have a little experience at the Power 5 level. She is 6'5", so getting that length And apparently in JUCO, she worked on her shot. Now, granted, I don't think there's a whole lot of 6'5 basketball players in women's JUCO basketball, so maybe a little easier to shoot over people, but nonetheless had a very impressive shooting percentage and free throw percentage. I believe it was about 75%, but nevertheless, aside from those ball skills, this is a great reinforcement for Dawn as she's really looking to reload from that three-headed monster that we had the past two seasons with Aaliyah Boston, Victoria Saxton, and Camilla Cardozo, where you had this constant rotation of a big player who was dominant in the post. Next year, it's no secret, it's Cardozo's show, especially in the low post, right? But Walker should provide a fantastic option in the rotation. A huge strength of the team last year was the bench and getting production from the bench players. I don't think we're going to see it quite at the same clip that we did, just because you're going to have a little bit of inexperience, right? And you're going to have to find the rotations and the combinations on the floor that work well. But this is a fantastic pickup for Dawn. Me personally, I was concerned about how the team was going to reload in the low post. I know we got some players on the wings who can play bigger, but nevertheless, you know, this is the style that Dawn has succeeded with in having a great couple of players down low, right? You think of Asia Wilson, Aaliyah Boston, etc. So this was a big, big pickup. And then, you know, side rant here. There is just a lot of off-season hype going to other programs. And it's as if we don't exist. And I'm tired of it. I got on my soapbox during the season about how the media, for whatever reason, the media just does not appreciate USC women's college basketball. They don't really appreciate South Carolina sports in general when you really look at the narratives that are spun about our programs. But it's just all this, like, LSU this, LSU that, Stanford, Iowa, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, LSU won the title. And yeah, they got a couple of nice pickups in the transfer portal. They look like the top team to beat right now on paper. But you still have a two-time national champion coach in Dawn Staley with high, high ranked recruiting classes this year that are those players are on the bench. They're on the floor for us coming up this year. You got experience with Camilla Cardozo, Ravens experienced. There's just a very a little bit of disrespect, and I'm just tired of it. Let them sleep. Let them sleep on Carolina. We will do our talking this next season. And then as a side note away from those sports here, football, not really program news, but DraftKings set the over-under win total for the Carolina Gamecocks at 6.5. So get it while the getting is good, because the last two seasons, Shane Beamer has beaten win total expectations as set by the odds makers, and at a 6.5, like, that seems mighty low. So, I mean, your boy got in on it pretty handsomely. The over bet has paid off for me the past two seasons. So, do you think this team can win 7 regular season games? I do. 7 plus, really. So, if that is your thing and you like to partake in those activities, get on the DraftKings and it's 6.5 there. But now let's look at games that were played and scores that happened. And I'm talking baseball. So yeah, if you want to stop listening here, like, I wouldn't blame you. I would not, but it is my duty to y'all as a podcaster to report on the comings and goings of the University of South Carolina athletics. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever it may be. Because it certainly was a rough weekend on the diamond for the Gamecocks as they were swept by Kentucky. And it sucks. Like, you know, that sucks. And it's tough because we had the tough series against Auburn where you avoided the sweep. Then you won the midweek game. And maybe you thought that, okay, the guys just had a blip. You can't win them all. Let's go to Kentucky. Now, Kentucky, mind you, I know I was kind of downplaying them going into this series because they were on a skid and they've dropped from the rankings. For a lot of the year, they were a top 15 team. So they're a good ball club. But you just kind of thought that we were going to get come in here and compete better than we did. And I know it's baseball, right? And baseball is a funny sport where you will have ups and downs. You will. And it's a long season where you really can't win them all. But you really just can't get swept. I mean, in college baseball, you really got to do everything you can to avoid the sweeps, especially on the road, right? And we just got to get healthy, you know? I mean, this team is facing a lot of adversity now, but we are not healthy. This team is banged up. This team is missing key players at multiple positions, and it's showing. It just really, really is showing. I mean, you know, missing Talmadge Lecroy, Braylon Wimmer, Will McGillis. I know he's been out for a little bit, but those are three starting infielders. And Wimmer and Lecroy, like, they were contributing at a high level, offensively and defensively. So it's tough for this team right now. And then you're missing Noah Hall, right? And other guys are having to play in different positions than they normally would. You know, Messina, French, you know, it's all just kind of, it's not the team that was designed. It's not the team that we saw 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? A month ago that was rolling. So on one hand, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, this team is banged up. You're asking more from guys who were bench players. Guys are playing out of position, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, I think there has to be a little bit of, well, these guys are still good, you know, and these guys were contributing when they were asked to do so in a more limited role. It's fair to ask for more production in a larger role. And we can look at a couple of guys and really hammer down on it, but just across the board, you didn't see a lot of that this series. And you didn't see a lot of it against Auburn. And what is also of more concerning is the pitching. These last couple of series, you know, 2 or 3 series, in fact, where it just hasn't been up to par. Starters not doing their fair share, right? Or maybe they get there and the middle relief guy struggles. It's just not looking the same. And I do think this team is still very good. And I'm not hitting the panic button, despite maybe what I'm saying right now. I'm just saying, like, you really got to nip this in the bud. Like, yes, you got to get healthy and you got to get healthy quick, but the regular season is winding down. There's not a ton of time left, right? And guys, if they're going to come back, they might need a couple of games to get back in the groove. So for the guys who are playing every day now, those guys have to find ways to step up. This team has to be gritty. They have to find other ways to win. And we got, you know, we just have to come together. We just have to come together, got to battle. You know, I you know, those guys are going to come back. The reinforcements are on the way. But again, you don't want it to be the last series or so, you know, the last 4 or 5 games. And it's like, okay, well, let's flip the switch and be great again. Like, no, the guys need to be contributing now. Will Sanders and Jack Mahoney need to be pitching incredibly well now. Braylon Wimmer being hurt doesn't affect that. You know, I'm going to get to it in a little bit. James Hicks struggled. You know, that's a tough one, right? I mean, he's been so good all year, he's allowed to have a bad game here and there, right? But that's just what I'm saying. Like, there's just a couple of instances of you can look at particular players and say, really need you to step up here, guys. And it just did not happen. And it was just really put into a light, I think, this last series here. But let's go game by game here real quick. I won't drag it out for y'all too bad. Game 1, Carolina lost 7-3. So, you know, despite Kentucky scoring a couple of early runs, the Gamecocks were fighting in this one. It was 2-1 after 4 innings. Then Kentucky tagged Sanders for 2 in the 5th. And even with Carolina plating a pair in the top of the 7th, the Wildcats answered with 3. So it was just not happening. Just not happening. Will Sanders took the loss. He went 5 innings, you know, which is nice, but he did allow the 4 runs, got himself into some trouble as well. He's a funny one. Sometimes I think he needs to just kind of get his back against the wall, and then he pitches pitches his best, but consistency can be an issue with him locating the zone and things like that. Player highlights here, Michael Braswell went 2-for-5 with one RBI. Gavin Cassis went 2-for-4 with one RBI. And Carson Hornung went 1-for-4. Game two, the Gamecocks lost 14-7. I mean, it's almost funny because despite the score, like if you had just looked at the Gamecocks box score and maybe you caught some of the highlights from our perspective, you would think this was a good day for Carolina, right? Scored 7 runs, had a couple of guys have big days at the plate, but Kentucky was just so consistent all day, answering every rally by Carolina. Kentucky scored in 7 of their 8 plate appearances. That's hard to beat. You know, that speaks to allowing runs in those instances, right? But just in general, that's just tough, right? That ball's bouncing their way, things like that. Cassis homer twice. Messina, he had a very nice day with 3 RBI, but it was just really just all Kentucky at the end of the day. Jack Mahoney got the start and a no decision, going 4 innings, allowing 5 runs. James Hicks, aforementioned, he got the loss, pitched 3 innings, allowed 7 runs. Player highlights here, Gavin Cassis, 3-for-5 with 3 RBI. Cole Messina, 2-for-4 with 3 RBI. And then Ethan Petrie, 1-for-4 with 1 RBI. Game 3, which was Sunday, South Carolina lost and was swept, losing 9-2. Carolina tied things at 2 in the top of the third, but after that, you know, Kentucky answered with 3 and then 2 runs apiece late in the game in the 7th and 8th, and that was all she wrote. Matthew Becker got the start and the loss, pitching 4 innings, giving up 5 runs. 3 of them were earned. Player highlights, Dylan Brewer, he was the lone bright spot in this game, went 2-for-3 with 2 ribbies, including a home run. Michael Braswell went 2-for-5, and Carson Hornung went 2-for-3. So, yeah, just a tough series. Really not what you would want to see late in the year. But again, for as frustrating as it can be, you are really trying to manage it by saying, you know, this team is not healthy. But again, like, you're not seeing those contributions from the regular guys that you were, at least at a clip that you had been 3-4 weeks ago. So the team just needs to level set. The team has to battle. It's facing some adversity now. It's not the end of the world. You know, probably going to drop in the rankings a little bit, but this is still a very good ball club. This is still a very good team with talented guys all throughout the roster. And we've seen them when they put it together and when this team is rolling, they are very, very good. So don't hit the panic button just yet, but if you're looking at it, if you know where the panic button is, like in your drawer, like I don't blame you. You know, but again, plenty of time to get this thing right. Guys are going to come back healthy. The lineup will be what it has been previously. Guys will be playing in the better positions out in the field, and everything will be okay. Up next for the Gamecocks is a midweek game Tuesday afternoon against North Florida. North Florida is currently 25-23 overall on the year. This is a big game. It's crazy to say that this Tuesday afternoon game against North Florida is big, but in my mind it is. You know, because it's a spot for the Gamecocks to once again try and get that loving feeling back after a tough SEC series result. You know, looking after the Auburn series, granted they won on that Sunday, but then they had a nice game in the midweek. I thought that was going to translate to some better success this weekend. It doesn't, but you still want to succeed in the midweek games. You don't want this thing to snowball, right? So you got a tough opponent after that too. Right around the corner is Arkansas. They're playing some good ball, but again, focus on what you can control, right? If you look around the SEC, some top teams also lost series this weekend, so it's not unheard of to lose a series, right? But don't let this thing snowball. So my crow to the game is just win, baby. Just win. I'm not going to put this on any one group, any one person. Team just needs to win, get some confidence back. Maybe we can get Talmadge, or, you know, maybe Braylon can come back at some point for this weekend. We'll see what Mark Kingston has to say, but everything's going to be okay. Deep breath. I'm trying to tell myself that. deep breath. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.